The passion of our Lord. The passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Please be seated.
Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place, because Jesus had often met them there. With his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees and went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything about what was going to happen to him, went out and said to them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They answered him.
Jesus.
He said to them,
"I am he."
Judas, his betrayer, was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So he asked them again,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They said,
"Jesus."
Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill what had been said, "I have not lost any of those you gave to me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword into its scabbard. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father gave me?"
So the band of soldiers, the tribune, and the Jewish guard seized Jesus, bound him, and brought him to Annas first. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas whom he had counseled the Jews that it was better that one man should die rather than the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Now the other disciple was known to the high priest, and they entered the courtyard of the high priest with Jesus. But Peter stood at the gate outside. So the other disciple, the acquaintance of the high priest, went out and spoke to the gatekeeper and brought Peter in. Then the maid who was the gatekeeper said to Peter, He said,
"I am not."
Now the slaves and the guards were standing around a charcoal fire that they had made because it was cold, and they were warming themselves. Peter was also standing there, keeping warm. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his doctrine. Jesus answered him,
"I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in a synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gather. And in secret I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said."
When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said,
"Is this the way you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered him,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there keeping warm. And they said to him, He denied it and said,
"I am not."
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative to the one who Peter had cut off his ear, said, Again, Peter denied it. And immediately the cock crowed. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was morning. And they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order that they would not be defiled so that they could eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said,
"What charge do you bring against this man?"
They answered and said to him, At this Pilate said to them,
Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law.
The Jews answered him, in order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, that he said, indicating what kind of death he would die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus to him and said,
are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus answered,
do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?
Pilate answered,
I am not a Jew. Am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?
Jesus answered,
my kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here.
So Pilate said to him,
then you are a king.
Jesus answered,
you say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice.
Pilate said to him,
what is truth?
When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them,
I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?
They cried out again, now Barabbas was a revolutionary. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And the soldiers wove a crown out of thorns and placed it on his head. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. They came to him and said, and they struck him repeatedly. Once more, Pilate went out and said to them,
look, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in him.
So when Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cloak, and Pilate said to them,
behold the man.
When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out,
crucify him, crucify him.
Pilate said to them,
take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him.
The Jews answered, now, when Pilate heard this statement, he became even more afraid and went back into the praetorium and said to Jesus,
where are you from?
Jesus did not answer him. So Pilate said to him,
do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release and have power to crucify you?
Jesus answered,
you would have no power over me if it had not been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin.
Consequently, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out,
if you release him, you are not a friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar.
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and seated him on the judge's bench, and called a place called the Stone Pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was a preparation day for Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews,
behold your king.
They cried out,
crucify.
Pilate said to them,
shall I crucify your king?
The chief priests answered, then he handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went out to the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription read and put on the cross. It read, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Now many of the Jews read this inscription because it was a place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So some of the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Pilate answered,
I
What I have written, I have written.
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. They said to one another, in order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, they divided my garments among them. For my vestiture they cast lots. This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, he said to his mother,
woman, behold your son.
Then he said to the disciple,
behold your mother.
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said,
it is finished.
And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Now, since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies may not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of the week was a solemn one, then the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, he saw that he was already dead. But they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and this testimony is true, knowing that he is speaking the truth, so that you may also come to believe. For this happened so that the Scripture passage might be fulfilled. Not a bone of it will be broken. And again another passage which says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, secretly a disciple of Jesus, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus, and Pilate permitted it. So he came and took down the body. Nicodemus, the one who had first come to him at night, also bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and bound it with burial cloths along with the spices, according to the Jewish burial custom. Now in the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been buried. So they laid Jesus there because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was close by.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Please be seated. As an act of mercy on Good Friday, I will keep my homily brief. Since I have talked for an hour and you have patiently listened to me, so let me just summon one or two points from this text we have from the Gospel of John. As you know, in the Gospel of John, you have a cryptic text which has second and sometimes third level meanings. There is much conversation about light and darkness in the Gospel of John. It begins here in chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, where this fellow named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, he was a very powerful man. He was rich, he was prominent, he was a leader, a member of the Sanhedrin. And in chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, he says he comes to see Jesus by night. Now, that doesn't mean after dark in the Gospel of John. It means he was in darkness. He had everything that the world could give, and yet he was in darkness. So he came to Jesus by night, which means in darkness. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." He wonders about that. And then we leave him there in chapter 3. He will show up again in chapter 7 in John's Gospel, a member of the Sanhedrin, and he appears to defend Jesus against the judgment of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish authorities. He'll show up again here in the text of the Passion. In chapter 19 in the Gospel of John, he shows up, he assists in the burial of Jesus. So he has become a disciple. He was born again from darkness into discipleship, and he becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, night becomes a very dominant theme in the Gospel of John. After Judas has betrayed Jesus, and he goes out, he leaves the Last Supper gathering, it says Judas left and it was night. Means it was darkness. So there is this strong emphasis on darkness. You'll find that in the Passion narrative we just read, they come to arrest Jesus by night. They're carrying torches and lanterns. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's night. He's suffering. He's abandoned. He's going through a great trauma. It's night. And then he is taken by the guards of the high priest. He's brought before Caiaphas, and he has a night trial, which was illegal in the Hebrew tradition. So night becomes a very dominant theme. That's Judas speaking to us about night. It's the Gospel of John revealing to us that our journey begins in darkness. Nicodemus was reborn from darkness into light. Jesus meets us in our darkness. We don't have to enter into light in order to encounter Jesus Christ. We encounter Jesus Christ in our times of darkness. That's what we learn from the Passion, death of Jesus Christ. He meets us in our darkness. So keep that in mind. Sometimes we think when we're in darkness and life is not good for us, we're in sin or we're confused or we're conflicted, it's a sign of the absence of Jesus. Listen to what this gospel tells us. That's when you most become conscious of Jesus Christ, who walked the journey in the Passion, death narrative, which we find here in John's gospel today. So wherever you are in your life, if you're conflicted, you're discouraged, you're uncertain, you're questioning things, darkness is somehow touching even the fringes of your life, that's where you meet Jesus Christ. I have said before, I think, in a homily here, some years ago I was visiting this elderly priest, and I used to visit him. He was cranky, he was a bit out of sorts, but he was a good friend, and I used to go to see him. And each time I was leaving him, I'd say, "John, say something wise to me. Well, he used to drink a little bit, and he said a few things that weren't wise. But on one occasion, he said to me, remember this, Clem, he said, if you want to live more than one life, you must die more than once. I said, John, I'll remember that. I wrote that down. Do you want to be reborn? Do you want to attach yourself to the power of Jesus Christ? You must die. To what must you die? Whatever seizes you, that which holds you in darkness, whatever discourages you in your life, wherever you hear a voice that says, you don't qualify, you don't belong, that's where you meet Jesus Christ. When you fall beneath a cross and you fail, when you stand in sin and you wonder about God's love for you, when you find your life empty, meaningless, you're not sure where you're going in your life, this is where Christ meets you. If you want to live a new life, you must die and be reborn. Keep that in mind. When we come to Sunday, we'll celebrate being reborn. Amen.